Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. Would you stand this morning? That snow's pretty outside, isn't it? Kind of hinders our attendance this morning, but it's still really pretty out there snowing. So there is no children's church this morning, unfortunately, and we will try to get back on schedule here real quick with that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day. I pray, Lord, that you would just minister to each and every person today in the here in the sanctuary and those watching online. We know there's probably a lot of people watching online today, and we just pray that you would bless them and speak to them, and may they be ministered to, Lord. Just have your way in the service. Bless the worship team as they come to lead us in worship, and Lord, just bless this service. We ask in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen.
Do what you being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do.
Families of God family who are struggling with the COVID. Many of you may know people who have COVID. Shelly Tyler right now has COVID. We need to be praying for a healing touch in her body. Pastor Adam Starling at Victory Family is, last I had heard, still requiring oxygen, and he's at home. His wife Christy is doing better, but Christy's mom, Subby, Pastor Adam's mother-in-law, is struggling with COVID, and so we need just to be lifting her up in prayer. Saw this morning on Facebook, Pastor and I did, that Rodney Fouts, who's the pastor of North Church, his mom was taken to the hospital this morning. And raise your hand if you know somebody right now who's got COVID. Yeah, we want to be praying for all of those folks. We want to pray for Sister Boykin, founding pastor of our church here. She has just not been feeling well, and we just need a healing touch in her body. And I want to pray for Pastor Steve's dad. He's been having some discomfort and some issues with sciatic nerve and pinched nerve, and so I want to pray for healing there. The Dalrymple's daughter, Alyssa, her grandmother is had pancreatic cancer, and so we want to pray for her and for Alyssa, who's just really having a difficult time with this diagnosis and all that her grandmother is going through. And then we want to pray for Tony Keller. You know, Tony's been working hard at clearing our woods out here, but he had hip surgery this past week. And we want to pray for his continued recovery. He's at home. He's doing well, but we just want to pray that God completes the healing in his body. Amen? Amen. So do you have any other needs? Would you just raise your hand and say, you know what? I have a need today. The Lord knows what that need is. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning that no need is too great for you. Lord, that you're not taken by surprise by anything that happens in our life, that although COVID has brought great disruption to our world and our own personal lives, Lord, it never brought disruption to your plan. Lord, you are always found to be prepared. You are always found to know what your people need. And so, Lord, we pray for those who are struggling today, whether it be those that are in our own church, whether it be those in the church, in the body of Christ, our family, being Pastor Adam and his family, Pastor Fouts and his family, and those who are signified by the raising of hands today. Lord, we pray you would touch them. Lord, you would help them and restore them and their health. Lord, we pray for Sister Boykin today, and Lord, you would just encourage her and give her peace. Lord, you would just touch her in every way possible. By your stripes, she be made well. We pray for Pastor Steve's dad also, that he would receive a healing touch in this nerve and this pain that's coursing through his body. And Lord, we pray for this grandmother who has pancreatic cancer. Lord, we pray you give wisdom to the doctors and the nurses. And most of all, we pray for healing. We pray for a continued healing process in Tony Keller today, as he has had this hip replacement surgery. And Lord, we ask right now that you would speak to and minister to every unspoken need here today. Lord, whether it be represented by someone here in the congregation, in the sanctuary, or someone online, Lord, we pray that you see the needs, and Lord, you meet them today. Lord, nothing is impossible with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Everybody, it's Chase Parsons with Oklahoma City Dream Center, and we just wanted to say a huge thank you to all of our supporters and our partner churches that helped make the Christmas in the Hood event of 2020 the best one ever, aside from all of the different changes that we had to go through, including even masks and all the changes and different ways that we had to do it. But we had hundreds of kids go through, hundreds of gifts go out, and hundreds of pictures with Santa be taken, and crafts handed out, food eaten, the Bible candy walkthrough. They were given the whole gospel message through the Bible walkthrough. Tons of different stuff going on, and literally even even though it was the longest day that we've ever had Christmas in the Hood, we did it so that we could have the most impact. And because of each and every one of you providing shoeboxes, volunteering, and coming and helping, you guys made it all possible. So once again, thank you so much. And thank you for helping us change people's lives, from the people that came here that literally were some even divine appointments that we got to literally make a huge impact in at this time of need in their life. And so once again, from the Oklahoma City Dream Center to you, we are so proud that we have partners and supporters like you helping us continue our mission to make dreams come true, especially during the holiday season in Oklahoma City. Thank you. And we will see you soon.
Yeah, let's give a hand. Yeah, amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much for those of you who put gifts together, those of you who volunteered your time to do various things to get us prepared, those of you that came and worked and cooked cookies and made hot dogs and sorted out French fries and handed out condiments and handed out candy bars and were guides. Some of our people were walking people around through the gospel presentation and all of that, and other people were sanitizing and making sure the whole environment was clean, and people were taking trash out, and we had people everywhere. I had one pastor from another one of the churches. He goes, "How many people did you bring? Every time I turn around, there's somebody else from." And I ask him, "Where are you from?" They said, "Noble Assembly." And I said, "Well, I think there's 50 something of us here." And he said, "My goodness." He said, "We got 20 here, and I thought we were doing good." And I said, "Hey, you know, we all work together and make it happen. But thank you, thank you, thank you. I know it was a long day, and I fell asleep. True story, I fell asleep in my bed with my contacts still on. I woke up this morning and I went, I guess I just fell asleep where I fell. So it was a long day, but it was worth it. We made a little over 1,600 hot dogs, served those out, 240 pounds of homemade French fries, 1,400 plus cookies, and however many meals, it was 750, 800 meals that was handed out, and including hundreds of people, hundreds of kids getting gifts, plus a long waiting list of people who weren't able to, because of the time and the spreading out, being able for us to give them a time to come through. So they'll be getting gifts all this next week. They're still, so this event doesn't end yesterday, it will continue to go on throughout this week as kids will receive gifts and continue to be impacted. And so thank you so much. That was Chase Parsons, who is the associate to Pastor Deb Burke and runs the Dreams, Oklahoma City Dream Center part of it. Deborah Burke runs the Inner City Church part of it, and he is an integral part to make sure all that happens. But he said, "I don't know what I'd do without all the volunteers that come from your church to make this happen." And he's actually given me a nickname. He calls me Father Christmas now. So when I call him, even throughout the year, he'll say, "Hello, Father Christmas." And so thank you again. Thank you for helping us. There's no way that I or any of us could do this on our own. But together, man, we really made an awesome thing happen. And so we appreciate that. A few announcements for today. Unfortunately, because we don't have all the workers, because some of our kids just didn't make it in because of the weather, the bell choir will not happen this morning. It will happen next week, we're hoping, next week. And so we're going to push that off one more week. And then tonight, we will not do the Connect Group and all that together. We're gonna have service here this morning, and then we're going to allow you to be with your family for the rest of the day. We have no idea how much water and snow and all that's going to come down. And so we've made that decision not to do this evening's event. But we want you to get prepared, because January 1st through the 21st is our 21-day fast. And so begin to prepare your mind, all right? Don't get to New Year's and then go, "Okay, what am I going to do?" Begin to prepare your mind for what you're going to fast. I've given a couple suggestions to the pastor. He said, "Go back to the drawing board." I've said vegetables. He said that, "No, we're not fasting vegetables." I said office work. He said that wasn't going to work either. So... I'm going to keep working on it, Pastor. I'll come up with something. And we'll be, everybody, it'll be successful if we all participate. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are still needing volunteers for the live nativity. And we've changed up the sign up a little bit on the table now. You will see that it says December 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. There's a clipboard for each day. And then the roles or the characters that we need for those days. So you can pick which day you want and what you want to be. All right. So you can be a wise man or a shepherd or an angel or whatever. And so we need more people to sign up and be a part of that. On Saturday, they're going to decorate the nativity. And then on Sunday through Wednesday of this following week, we will have the live nativity for our community. Love for you to be a part of that. And if we get enough people signing up, maybe each of us just do one day and we make it happen. And so love for you to be a part of all of that. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. As they do, I want to say, if you were a guest here this morning, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. Love for you to fill that out and put it in the offering bag. I know you don't have much time, but if you could just fill that out really quickly, and that would give us a record of your attendance, and that would be super, super helpful. All right. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of snow and weather, we can still come together and worship you. We pray for those that are unable to be here today. You would bless them. Hopefully they're watching online right now. And Lord, we pray for all of the giving and the tithe and the offering. We ask, Lord, that you would just multiply it. Lord, most of all, we just desire that people would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, whether that be through coming into a service or whether it be through an outreach such as Christmas in the Hood or whether it be through the outreach of a live nativity. What we want is for this world to know that Jesus is the answer. And we pray, Lord, that you would take the giving today and allow that money to be used to fulfill that goal. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a hand for Pastor as he comes to share with us.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Amen. A word about the live nativity. If anybody knows where we can get about 3 or 4 square bales of hay, I know round bales is kind of the thing now that people have, and people don't have a lot of square bales. But if you know where there's some square bales, please let me know. And also, if you know where we could get a couple of propane heaters, that would be great. So, amen. If you have your Bibles, get ready to open them. We're going to open the various scriptures here in just a moment. And I don't really have a particular text to start with, so that's unusual. But we're going to be going to various places in scripture. The title of the message this morning is, as I was talking about last week, For Crying Out Loud. Yeah, For Crying Out Loud. So, Father God, thank you, Lord, today for this time together in your house. We pray that you would just direct us and anoint, Father God, the message this morning to our hearts and minds and ears in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome. I'm sure you've heard the exclamation for crying out loud in your lifetime. How many have used that exclamation at times? Yeah, I have too. And so we want to redeem that exclamation today. I wanted to put a more positive spin on this exclamation that a lot of people say for crying out loud. And I wanted to look at it more positively and definitely more importantly than just an exclamation that we make. Throughout history, believers have cried out to God in times of trouble, in times of need. And the Bible tells us to do that, doesn't it? The Bible gives us permission. It commands us that the Lord will respond if we cry out to him when we're in need. And here's some examples. Psalm 34:17 says, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him." Amen. Lost my place. "When they call to him for help, he rescues them from all their troubles." And then Psalm 50 in verse 15 says, "Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorites, says, "Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come." And, you know, I believe that particular scripture is very important in this day in which we live. We don't know about a lot of things to come. How many of you know there's a lot of unanswered questions in the future? This year has been crazy with the coronavirus and everything, and we don't know what's coming around the bend with our country and with the election. I want to tell you, we need to be crying out to God in behalf of what's happening in our world and especially in our nation, because we don't know what's happening. And the Bible says there, if we ask and we call out to him, that he will show us and he will give us insight into things that are coming. And, you know, I read this book just about every day, and I've said it before. It's called Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. If you don't have this book, I would encourage you to go to Mardell's and pick this book up. It is a great devotional book. It's got 40 devotions in it, and I read it about every day. And this one of the devotions this week was about a man in history by the name of George Washington Carver. And one of the things George Washington Carver was famous for was for his work in agriculture. And so I'm just going to read this. I was going to try and tell it, but I do better at just reading this. And I think this is a good idea. It goes right along with what we're talking about. It's day 8 in the devotion. It's called a God idea, or one God idea. It says, around the turn of the 20th century, the agricultural economy of the South was suffering as the boll weevil devastated cotton crops. The soil was being depleted of nutrients because farmers planted cotton year in and year out. Enter George Washington Carver, one of the most brilliant scientific minds of the 20th century. Carver introduced the concept of crop rotation and encouraged farmers to plant peanuts instead of cotton. The rotation of crops revived the soil, but it didn't revive the economy because there was no market for peanuts. The abundant peanut crop rotted in warehouses because supply was greater than demand. When frustrated farmers complained to Carver, he did what he had always done. He took a long walk and had a long talk with God. George Washington Carver routinely got up at 4 a.m., walked through the woods, and asked God to reveal the mysteries of nature. Job 12, 7 and 8 was one of his most circled promises in the Bible. Those verses says, but ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Well, Carver took that promise at face value. He literally asked God to reveal the mysteries of nature, and God answered his prayer. Carver is famous for discovering more than 300 uses for the peanut. But the genesis of those revelations was one conversation with God. In his own inimitable fashion, Carver shared the story behind the story. I asked God, why did you make the universe, Lord? Ask for something more in proportion to that little mind of yours, replied God. Why did you make the earth, Lord? Your little mind still wants to know far too much. Ask for something more in proportion to that little mind of yours, replied God. Why did you make man, Lord? Far too much, far too much. Ask again, replied God. Explain to me why you made plants, Lord. I ask, your little mind still wants to know far too much. The peanut? I ask meekly. Yes. For your modest proportions, I will grant you the mystery of the peanut. Take it inside your laboratory and separate it into water, fats, oils, gums, resins, sugars, starches, and amino acids. Then recombine these under my three laws of compatibility, temperature, and pressure. Then you will know why I made the peanut. On January the 20th, 1921, George Washington Carver testified before the House Ways and Means Committee on behalf of the United Peanut Association of America. The chairman, Joseph Fordney of Michigan, told him he had 10 minutes. An hour and 40 minutes later, the committee told Carver he could come back whenever he wanted and take as much time as he needed. Carver mesmerized the committee by demonstrating a myriad of ingenious uses for the peanut. Everything from glue to shaving cream to soap to insecticide to cosmetics to wood stains to fertilizer to linoleum to Worcestershire sauce. I always want to say Shire sauce. The next time you shave or put on makeup, the next time you stain the deck or fertilize your garden, the next time you enjoy a good old-fashioned peanut butter and jelly sandwich, remember that all those things trace back to a man who had a habit of getting up and praying at 4 a.m. These 300 uses of the peanut were not good ideas, they were God ideas. And one God idea is worth more than 1,000 good ideas. Good ideas are good, but only God ideas change the course of history. Isn't that an incredible story? How he did exactly what Jeremiah 33:3 says. He says, ask, and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know. And so that's the kind of God that we serve. The Lord bless George Washington Carver for crying out to the Lord. And we enjoy those benefits today. Church, God responds to heartfelt cries of his people. Let me say it again. God responds to heartfelt cries of his people. We see it all through the Word of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Remember God's people Israel? They were in trouble. And they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord would respond for their crying out loud. And for example, when the Egyptians were oppressing the Israelites, they cried out to the Lord, and he heard them, and he took action. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, it says, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress. Did you hear that? I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. And I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. Hallelujah. The Lord heard them because they cried out loud and he responded. In the New Testament, we still see God responding to his children for crying out loud. Peter escaped from prison because the church was earnestly praying for him. If we look at the book of Acts, chapter 12, it says in verses 5 there, find it here, verse 5, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before him. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals, and he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and the angel suddenly left them. Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. You see, in both cases, the Israelites cried out because they were in distress, they were in slavery. Peter cried out, he was in prison. And the Lord heard them, and the Lord responded to them. Church cries out, and the Lord responds. Just as a father cares for his children. When your kids cry out, or they need something, or they're hurting, we want to respond, and we want to help. And you know, even if God doesn't respond, as we would hope at times, which is the case of some people in Hebrews 11. Because Hebrews 11 talks about all these people. They did this by faith. They did that by faith. They did this by faith. They did this by faith. But down towards the latter part of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, but some were sawed in two. Some were jailed. Some were killed. Some of them didn't get the deliverance maybe that they had hoped for. Not because the Lord didn't hear, but because the Lord had a better plan. The Lord had other things that he wanted to do in that case. And so regardless of sometimes the way the Lord answers, God always hears. And that's the first point of we're going to talk about today. Results of crying out loud. Number one is he hears. Everybody say he hears. He hears. The Lord hears you when you pray. That is unless you are living in unrepented sin. Because there are scriptures that talk about that the Lord won't hear you if you're regarding sin in your heart. Psalm 66, verse 18 and 19 says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. And so if we're hiding sin or harboring sin in our heart, the Lord may not hear you when you're asking him for something. Because he will not respond to that. And then another case is, and I just saw this. I'm a member of the, you remember the guy that we had here last August that did the men's ministry conference? Neil Kennedy, thank you. He has and I'd encourage all you guys to do this. He has a email that he sends out every day called the Daily Champion. How many of you guys get that? Some of you get it? Okay. I get that every day. And today's Daily Champion went right along with it. The title of it is Unanswered Prayers. I thought this was interesting. Proverbs 21:13, if you stop your ears to the cries of the poor, your cries will go unheard and unanswered. And the principle is the manner in which you respond when someone calls upon you determines the manner in which God responds when you call upon him. And he gives a little example. He says, as I was driving, my prayers were spontaneously being spoken out loud. The church that I pastored at the time was facing a very substantial financial need. As soon as my prayer was offered, I looked ahead at the intersection to see a man with a sign that read, out of work, family needs food, God bless. We've all seen those. At that moment, I felt prompted within my spirit to give to that man in need. As I looked in my billfold, I only had a $100 bill. I have to admit that I was hesitant. I considered the amount. It was large to my estimation. The light had changed, and I only had a moment to decide. I immediately grabbed the $100 bill, rolled down the window, and offered it to the man in need. Within minutes, I received a phone call telling me that a large offering had been made that met the church's need. As I meditated on the circumstances, I felt confident that these two situations were in fact connected. Any time that I've asked God to meet a need in my life, God has shown me someone that I have the resources to meet a need in their life. Isn't that interesting? That showed up today when I was preaching this message this morning about God hearing. And so God wants to hear our prayers, but we have to do our part in responding as the Holy Spirit leads us, whether it be conviction of something we're hiding in our heart, or maybe you see a need and you have the opportunity to help, but you don't. And so we want to be obedient to the Lord. 1 John 5:14 says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And so the Lord hears us when we pray for crying out loud. Amen. Number two, for crying out loud, he not only hears, he helps. He helps. Everybody say he helps. When we cry out to the Lord when facing a need or a difficulty, we can be confident that he will help us. I love the scripture, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength and always ready to help in times of trouble. This week I was doing some preparation, of course, for the message this morning. I was reading different commentaries about some of these verses and different things that I come across. And one of the stories I come across, I hesitated to share it, but then I think I will. A lady from Harvest Prayer Ministries writes this. Her name was Barbara. She says, I was 6 months pregnant and my winter jacket no longer fit. As my husband Danny and I walked through Sears and Roebuck, we noticed what seemed to be the perfect coat. It was $69, and with tax, it would cost $75. It might as well have cost $1,000. Danny was in seminary, and we barely had enough money to pay our monthly bills. We left the store empty-handed. In the car driving home, we lifted up the situation to the Lord. On the way back to our apartment, we stopped to check our mail. To our amazement, there was an envelope in our mailbox. No, it did not have cash in it. That would have been spent on more pressing bills. Anybody want to guess what it had in it? It contained an anonymous gift certificate to Sears for $75. We got back in our car, and we bought my beautiful new coat. She goes on to write, I was 23 years old then, and answers like that to prayer have led me to a life of learning to call out to God. I've seen countless answers to prayer and some that have yet to be answered. But I have never seen God fail me, not once. I may have not been privy to everything he was doing at every exact moment, but in hindsight, I must say that in every situation, God has always been faithful. He has never deserted me, but instead he has worked each concern for good. He has always been true to his word. Isn't that awesome? God hears. God helps. When we have a need, we can call out to him, and he will respond because that's what he wants to do. Either way, we trust the Lord, our Heavenly Father, will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, all for crying out loud and believing that he is for us and not against us. Amen? So not only does Christ or does God hear us and help us, number three, he heals. He heals us. The Lord wants to bring healing in our lives. Exodus 15, 26 says, I am the Lord God who heals you. And I believe the most important healing of all is spiritual healing, right? That's the most important healing. But not only does the Lord want to heal us spiritually, I believe the Lord in the Word of God tells us he wants to heal us physically and mentally and emotionally. You know, there's a lot of people in our society right now that are going to need a lot of emotional healing. I've read recently and heard that suicides, because of the stuff we've been going through and the isolation, are on the rise. There's more, the suicide rate is higher than ever before. There's going to be a great need for counselors in the future because people need to be able to talk through their feelings and talk through their emotions and all of that. But I need you, the word we need to get out there is the Lord is the healer. We can call upon the Lord. He will help you mentally and emotionally and financially and maritally and spiritually in every which way. Amen? He cares about us. There are many examples in the Bible of people crying out to the Lord and even praying out loud to the Lord. Remember blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52? It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to quietly whisper to himself, Jesus, son of David, oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. Is that what he did? I didn't think so. He began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Hallelujah. The Lord is our healer. Another example, we shared this one not too long ago, is about Elijah when he revived a dead child. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. It says that sometime later the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son? But Elijah replied, give me your son. And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying. He laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out. What did he do? He cried out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, Why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, Oh, Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Look, he said, your son is alive. For crying out loud, the Lord healed and heard the prayers of this prophet. Does the Lord always heal every time? Let me ask you, does the Lord always heal every time you pray for somebody? I would have to honestly answer no. There have been people I've prayed for to be healed and they have not been healed. And you know what? Sometimes God says no. I preached a sermon several years ago. I was reminded of this when I did Herman Wheat's funeral the other day. The funeral director came up to me and says, I remember you. You did Clara Wheat's funeral. I said, yes, I did. She goes, I still remember your sermon. I said, really? What was it? He goes, your sermon title was When God Says No. I had forgotten about that. Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And he says no because he has a different plan. But he does command us to pray for the sick, does he not? He tells us to lay hands on the sick. He tells us to pray the prayer of faith, and we just leave the results to him. Because we're not God, he's God, and not always does his plan match what we think is going to happen, but he always does it right. And he certainly wants us to cry out loud for the lost. Anybody know any lost people? The Lord wants us to be crying out for the lost, crying out for your neighbors around you, on either side of you or behind you or in front of you. Cry out for them. Cry out for the healing in our land. My goodness, we need a healing in our land so, so bad. And we're running out of time. The Lord is coming. Our nation and our world is full of lost people who need Jesus. And let alone our nation is in trouble politically. Desperately, we need to be crying out to the Lord for the truth to prevail. And for lives to be changed, for a move of the Spirit. We must be interceding and standing in the gap, lest we lose the freedoms that many have shed their blood to protect. Two more quick results of crying out loud. Not only does he hear and he help and he heal, he also holds. He holds us. And number five, I'm going to give you these together, he gives us hope. He gives us hope. A couple more scriptures, Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. My hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor comes from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. And then Isaiah chapter 41, one verse, in verse 10 says, Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Hallelujah. I'm glad he holds us up. I'm glad the Lord gives us hope. You know, if I didn't know the Lord, I would be feeling pretty hopeless in our world right now. The thing that keeps me getting up every morning and going and do what I do and live my life is my hope is in Christ. My hope is in the Lord. My life is in his hands. In conclusion, there is power in crying out to God. And I might add that I know God isn't hard of hearing and even knows our thoughts. But I believe there is great merit in crying out loud. I think sometimes we're too quiet. And I think there's merit in crying out loud because, one, it helps us to be more focused and less distracted. If I am speaking out my prayer and out loud, I'm talking it, my mind isn't moving. If I'm just kind of praying and just quietly and just thinking it, my mind, I'm thinking about what I need to do next week or what we're having for lunch or you know, all these different things. Your mind is more distracted. But if you're having to verbally speak out, I think you're more focused. And then secondly, I think when you speak and cry out loud, there is more fervency and intensity in your prayer. You're more fervent about it. You're more intense about it when you speak it out. And then thirdly, crying out loud benefits others as it encourages them to pray with more boldness and intensity. I'm not talking about where you pray way above everybody, because sometimes that can be distracting. But I want to tell you something. Personally, maybe this is just me. If it's just me, then it's just me. I personally miss the church services where I hear of people praying out around the altars. It's like a volume of prayer. Does anybody else miss that? Is it just me? Few of us? Then let's few that miss it, let's cry out. Let's get the ball going again and pray out with prayer. You say, well, God hears us. Yes, he does. And I just told you three reasons why we need to do that, though, because it emboldens us, helps us pray more fervently, benefits others, and it helps us stay more focused. There's a time to be loud and there's a time to be quiet. And I think a lot of it is determined by the intensity of the pain that we feel. If I'm opening a can with a can opener with a knife, we talked about pocket knives in class this morning. If I'm using my pocket knife because I'm out camping and I don't have a can opener and I jab it through my hand, I'm not going to go, oh, that hurt. I'm going to, ouch, that hurt. How many of you would agree with me that to determine the level of vocal intensity we have in our prayers depends on the pain we're feeling? When you have an intense situation, when you need God, you're going to cry out to God. If we don't really need that, we're just a little more quiet about it. I know. You say, you're just messing this morning. You're just meddling, they call it. Well, meddle on, I say, because I think it needs to be said. We need to cry out to God for crying out loud. There's a song that I have on my phone. I only have about, I don't really know how to download songs on my playlist. Carol or somebody needs to educate me. So I've got three songs on my phone that I stored on there. One of them is a song by Phil Wickham called Heaven Fall Down. You ever heard it? Heaven Fall Down, some of you? I'm not going to play it, but I wanted to read you words to this. It goes, open our eyes, Lord, let us see all that you are, all that you mean. Open our ears, Lord, let us hear all that you are, to be loud and clear, please be near. As our praises rise, may your presence fall. Heaven, heaven, fall down. Spirit, Spirit, pour out on us all now. Heaven, fall down. Come, Jesus, come, come like the wind. Fill up this place, we welcome you in. Come, Jesus, come, come like the rain. Open the sky, show us your face. Oh, Lord, we wait. As our praises rise, may your presence fall. Heaven, heaven, fall down. Spirit, Spirit, pour out on us all now. Heaven, fall down. The bridge of the song goes like this. We're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. We're crying out in desperation for you. We're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. We're crying out in desperation for you. I think we need to be crying out in desperation. Heaven, fall down. Spirit, pour out. That's the answer to what's going on in our lives, in our country, in the church, is we need heaven to come down. We need the Holy Spirit to be poured out. And guess what, church? It's not going to happen unless we get serious about calling out. Unless we get serious about crying out loud. I thought of this, and I say this, and then we're going to pray. But 2 minutes after the rapture takes place, how much crying out you think is going to be happening. 2 minutes after Jesus comes and millions of people are vanished from this planet and gone to heaven, how much crying out is going to go on? I saw a video, it made me think, because I saw a video this week of a church that portrayed the rapture happening and the people that was left in, but they were crying out, they were bawling on the floor, and God, I missed it. And some people come in the back door that weren't in the church because they come running up to the church because somebody was missing. And they're saying, why didn't you tell us? And they're just crying out. There's going to be such crying out 2 minutes after the rapture. Why don't we take that in the same intensity that would happen 2 minutes after the rapture and do it before the rapture? You see where I'm going? What if we cried out with that same intensity that people are going to be crying out afterwards a little before? I don't think we're far from the rapture. I think Jesus is coming soon. And I think there's ever a time, church, we need to be crying out loud. It's now. Lord, we cry out to you. We cry out to you. Do we need to feel more pain? Maybe the reason some of the things were happening in our country is all maybe... maybe the Lord says, I just need you to feel some more pain so you'll cry out. Maybe we got it too nice and too comfortable and too easy. How many of you know God is big enough to turn the threshold up on the pain? God can turn the pain up. Do we want that? I don't like pain. I like comfort. I don't like pain. But God sometimes has to do things that he does because he knows it's for our good. I mean, it's all through the Bible. What did the Lord do with Israel? He turned the pain threshold up on them. He turned the pain up on them, and then they cried out. Then they got serious. They got serious with God, and God in his wonderful faithfulness and love responded. And he helped them, and he heard them, and he healed them, and he helped them get on the right track. God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts at us in our pain. And so for crying out loud, we need to be shouting and praying and speaking out our prayers to God with intensity. Amen? Amen. Father God, help us, Lord, tonight or today, this morning, every day, to cry out to you. To cry out to you. You respond when we cry out. You help us and heal us and all these things I've mentioned this morning. When we are seriously hurting and need you, when we seriously see the need around us and we feel the pain and the hurt around us and even in our own hearts and lives and families, God, help us to cry out because you respond to churches and people and individuals crying out. The Word of God is filled with instances where you have responded to your people crying out. Thank you, Lord. You see us right now. You see what each and every person here in this sanctuary and watching online is going through. You know the pain they may feel. You know what's happened in their lives. And Father God, I pray that you would just help us to get on our knees and cry out to you and say, God, heal us, help us, hear our prayers again. Give us the hope that we so desperately need in our country, God. Give us the hope that we need in you more than anything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just, either where you're at or at this altar area, find a place to cry out to the Lord? Can we cry out? Can we get serious for the Lord? As the team comes to sing, let's cry out to the Lord.
Jesus, you don't owe me anything. just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started.
Nothing else will do. I just
Anybody else that wants special prayer, I'd be happy to pray for you. I know I just prayed for Bill. If you need prayer, go ahead and sing that through again. If you need special prayer before we dismiss, let us pray for you. Just going to wait for a moment, see if there's anyone that needs special prayer in any way. Hallelujah. You don't have to sing the whole thing, maybe just part of it or something. Caught up in your presence.
I just want to sing. Sit here at your feet, I'm caught up
And just cry out to the Lord in behalf of our country right now. I think it would be well and fitting on this day for us just cry out to America, to God for America right now. Father, we cry out to you right now. Lord, we reach out to you. We stand upon your word, God, that there is power in prayer. Oh, Father God, right now, touch and heal our land. Heal our land, oh God. You said if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will turn and forgive their sin and heal our land. Lord, our land has sinned. Lord, there is still a lot of sin and people that have turned their hearts away from you, including even the church in some ways. Lord, help us to get back to you, to not be lukewarm, to not go through the motions, Lord, but to tap into the reality of our faith and trusting you to bring help and healing, not only to the church, not only strength and faith and the fervency to the church, but to this nation again, to turn back to you. Lord, we just lift up our nation. We lift up America today. Touch in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, we lift up every person who may be here today or watching this this internet broadcast, Lord, that may not know you as Savior. Right now, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for them, Father God, that they would turn to you and say, Jesus, Jesus, I give my life to you. Lord, I cry out to you. I don't want to be crying out to you 2 minutes after the rapture. I cry out to you now because I need you to save me and to help me and to heal me right now in Jesus' name. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe you died to save me on the cross, and I confess right now with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are my Savior. Jesus, you are mine. Jesus, I confess you right now. Shout that out loud. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we love you, Lord, today. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Father God, just go with us, Lord, today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.